and call the roll.
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Carter Bagg. Noriko Marshall. Eric Mott.
Here.
Scott Russer.
Here.
Michael Stenger.
Here.
James Truen.
Here.
So the board members should have received minutes from previous meeting, which I've familiarized myself with as well. Are there any comments or corrections to those minutes or a motion to approve?
The minutes you signed earlier are old minutes that have already been approved by motion.
Uh-huh.
They just hadn't been signed by the chair yet, so.
Okay. Okay, so this staff memorandum is not technically the minutes from the last meeting, it's?
No, this
okay.
was, but it was an old meeting.
Okay, okay. So does this serves, though, as the memorialization of the discussion from last meeting?
Right, and you'll get minutes probably at your next meeting from
okay.
the meeting 2 weeks ago.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. So tonight's agenda is to continue the design review and deliberate on items related to the Totem Station mixed-use project. And specifically, there were four key elements that were highlighted at the last meeting for further review from the board. And then the board has the opportunity tonight to either make a recommendation to approve or to continue the meeting for further review, depending on what the consensus is based on what we see this evening. Anybody from the public here? Everyone's with the applicant? Okay. That should bring us to the applicant's presentation then.
Correct.
Well, good evening. I guess we're back. We're very happy to be back. I think we've done a few different items as far as some of the things that you asked us to do, as far as some landscape, some of the features as far as the landscape. Landscape as far as some of the architectural features, how maybe we connect to the ground a little bit better and create some variety. And also, I think we talked about sort of the edges here as far as how that that concrete edge could be. So we brought several different examples. We have the direction we would like to take, and then a couple other examples just to be able to have open discussion with you about it. We've also brought back, as discussed, you know, some ideas about signage and things that we're doing. So Aaron and Jen are here. And we have our landscape architect, and also Glenn from my office here, the project manager, is here to discuss these items in detail, how far I want to go. And I'll let our landscape architect talk about what we're doing here as far as some of the edge treatments, as far as evergreen trees.
Hi, Mark Weissman from Weissman Design Group Landscape Architects. Nice to see you again. I want to take a moment to apologize. Last time we misled you in showing you a rendering that didn't really show what we were proposing in those evergreen trees at the northwest corner of the site at the bow retention area. We've taken the time in that area to revise the rendering, which we'll show you in a moment, to capture the essence of what we really proposed, which was tall, narrow evergreen trees. If you recall last time, there was some concern that the trees in the rendering were deciduous trees. They were kind of roundy and small, and they didn't really capture the kind of screening that we anticipated. So what you can see, we've updated our plan. We finalized that portion of the plan and the selection of trees. We think that the right tree for that situation is Hogan cedar. It's a cedar tree that's a little bit, it's narrower than the true cedar, more fastidiate in form. Perfectly appropriate for that. It won't grow completely out of control, but they get quite tall, so it'll provide the scale and evergreen strength that we need for the future. And
how do we pop to
this is an updated rendering that we prepared that shows you. You can see the four biggest trees. Those are Hogan cedars, probably at about 10 or 15 years. You know, they're going in at 8 to 10 feet tall, so they're not going in at an insubstantial size now. But that, if you recall last time, they were much more deciduous. It just was kind of a fluffy, non-specific rendering. So we've really tried to carefully locate them where we have high ground, where they work with the bioretention area, and where they'll provide good screening for that sort of northwest side of the building. We think that they're really appropriate choices. They have the right scale and they're kind of the right power and stature in that area. So that's really our focus for this portion of our presentation. If you have any questions, I'm certainly glad to respond to them. If you want to ask them now, that's great. Otherwise, I'll wait till the end. So with that, I'll turn it back to our architect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. So again, I guess I'd like to encourage, we talked about maybe have open discussion. If there's things that come up you want to bring up right away, please do. I think with the landscape that Mark talked about is, I think a big point was, okay, there's landscape, but how is architecture, you know, touching the ground in certain spots? So what we're going to do with here is go around the building from this edge, you know, counterclockwise, and talk about things that we are looking at doing to the building with some of the elements, some of the finishes, and some of the articulation at the base of the building. Oh, thank you. Apologize. Now, some of this is the previous submittal, where over on this edge we were, you know, fairly just really simple, you know, as far as doing horizontal siding. Our intent here is be simple, and the idea of the landscape and the two different levels of planters that we have over here would, you know, augment what we're doing in architecture above. But as brought up by you, as far as, you know, we could look at sort of down here as far as look at the articulation and as far as how we could create some different feelings, you know, like here in the middle of using the smaller siding and using the metal to break things up here, and then also bring a tower all the way down here, create some different features with the architecture, with the finishes, and play off the corners that we have to create, I think, something much more interesting. We also looked at this edge here as we wrap around towards the west corner of also using the 4-inch siding down below here, agreeing to, again, create a horizontal, break up the horizontal with a vertical element as it wraps around the corner. We've also looked a little bit more about how, you know, these work a little bit better than we had before as far as the size and so forth. And then wrapping around on the west end, again, this is what we had before, very strong, you know, horizontal base to the building. Looked at, again, more articulation as far as what we do with these corners, you know, carrying, well, there's no windows in the garage here, but carrying down the feeling of this vertical corner going all the way up with the windows here. Also the same thing over in this corner here. The other thing I think was brought up when we discussed a little bit is, like, it'd be nice to sort of break these balconies up here, because this is actually, you know, facing west, bringing more sunlight, bringing more light into these lower units. So this is one other element that we have changed. As we wrap around towards the east at the garage entrance, as we talked about before, this is about a 6-inch relief from the, you know, the larger horizontal siding to the narrower horizontal siding here as it goes back into the garage. So that feature stays the same. But like when we wrapped around the corner again, is that we looked at under the windows, you know, doing you know, the narrow siding and then going to the larger siding to break up this corner, create more articulation with the materials. Also the same thing with the balconies, looking at the lower balcony, and bring it down, let more light into these units here. This will be, you know, again, they'll be fairly open as far as those units looking out, and I think fairly private. And then as we wrap around towards our courtyard on the south, excuse me, I should have said south before, but looking at this plane here, we did a couple things in here. We looked at increasing the window, making that much more, I think, to be honest, a better unit. We wrap around and get more glass coming to the south and be, you know, a real fun unit of the, you know, that glass that wraps around the corner there and very dynamic around the corner. And then we looked again and looked at how this worked. We still want to be simple, so our forms. So we kept the form, but we looked at going to the narrow 4-inch siding on this area here. So please, if there's any questions, I go through. And then some of the things we looked at is, like, you asked us to look at signage. Jen has spent a lot of time looking at, you know, how the signage, different things as far as getting a beginning about here's how we think we're approaching signage for the project. So I'm going to let her speak for a few minutes here on this.
Jen Bushnell, architect with CamWest Development. So the DRB, we agree with the DRB's concern about architecture and signage go hand in hand. It's a very important element of the building, and a sign could really take away from the entire, you know, mass of the building. Diving into the Kirkland City Code, which is Chapter 100, which regulates signage, we carefully went around the building and made a consistent theme, but also provided options which a potential tenant could put signage on the building with our regulation and approval. So I will go through each one. Type 1 would be a facade-mounted, and these are some examples within the city of Kirkland that we feel demonstrate a good job with the brick features. Type 2 would be a blade signing, a projected blade sign with a rigid material for the tenant. And type 3 would be a canopy mounted underneath for the pedestrian signs that would be within the four square feet code allowed. Did I just push this? Oh, I did this and I don't want to run it. And as we progress around the building, this is on the, I'm sorry I didn't mention that, but this is on the east facade. Type 4 would be the projecting blade signage at the pedestrian walkway, which is also 4 square feet. And then type 5, depending on the canopy design that we do go with, either a metal canopy or a fabric, these are the two options that we felt would be a successful element that would actually accentuate the architecture. And the gateway feature, which is a very prominent feature, type 1 would also be a canopy mounted design, which would be either above or we could do it on the fascia of the canopy. Type 2 would be another example of the blade signage, which is actually right here in Kirkland. Type 3 would be an undermount canopy, and type 1 did I say? Oh, sorry, there's another type 1 up there, which would be along the building. But we want to assure the board that we are going to implement a master sign program, and we will be very particular on what goes on the building. So, thank you. Now I will hand it back over to John.
I think, like Jen said, I think it's going to be very important, especially the corners. You know, the Tully, something like the Tully sign, I think it's going to be dramatic and lit, I think, at the two corners. I think something we would like to see working with our, you know, the potential tenants that we're going to have. And with that, I guess the last item I think that we had was talking about the concrete, our loading dock, as we've been calling it, as far as that edge there and the retailers that we have on that edge. You know, some of the things I think we talked to you, our preference is to do smooth concrete to keep it, you know, relatively simple, and doing the wire railing above. We will have 18 inches of landscape, and in the later slide you'll see a 2-foot section in Portland that can be done quite nicely. Fortunately, we don't have a picture that really shows that, but we, again, looking at that simple, we're going from zero, again, the maximum height, to refresh everybody's memory, is going to be 5 feet. And we're not, I'm not suggesting the little wood trellises here, but just sort of the idea that it's a clean finish and a couple layers of landscape in that 18 inches. You know, other things that we looked at as far as looking at different things was looking at whether we have some score lines, you know, in the concrete, you know, as far as creating a little bit of features, maybe, you know, whether it's light like you see in the upper picture or in the lower left, whether you get a heavier edge to the, that delineates maybe more the top of the patio. And then looked at the possibility of actually maybe the top slab actually, you know, cantilevers a little bit. Maybe it goes out 6 inches to create more of a shadow edge as far as that work, you know, as far as a possibility. And then some of the things we just want to say, you know, make sure, you know, that we are looking at doing a cable railing as far as, you know, and doing metal angles. And this would be similar to what we'd be doing. And again, talking about that concrete edge, as far as we, you know, what I saw a lot today, and I've seen a lot up here, you know, here in the Seattle area, is doing, you know, the smooth concrete. You know, there are several on Central Avenue, just coming down 85th, coming down into town here, that most of the buildings have a smooth concrete base to them. So there is, I think, a very strong historical presence in Belt Kirkland for that. And we did look at, the Portland and the Pearl District. You know, the one on the left, you know, has the brick there, but this shows you, again, this is 2 feet of landscaping. We're 8 inches to 2 feet of landscaping on our strip. And, you know, one of the possibilities, again, we would see is something like this with this, you know, again, a little bit of a concrete edge and then the smooth concrete underneath that and then the planted area. Over on the right is just sort of a, put this in here, I'm not, you know, it's just the wire, some of the other things that we saw in Portland as far as how it was handled under older, you know, loading docks in the past and how that's converted. I thought it was 18 inches. Okay. What? Okay. I made a mistake. It's only 12 inches of landscape. I apologize. I thought we had, I think at one time it was 18 inches and maybe I think the sidewalk grew that one time. As I recall, so memory fading me. Don't go stop. So that's sort of like where we're at as far as just ideas. Again, our, you know, we would like to keep it smooth and keep it simple over there. We have a little bit of landscape and a rail. So, you know, leave that maybe discussion with you as far as what, you know, what you're thinking about, whether how some of these ideas work for you and anything else we showed you tonight. So, again, we kept, presentation's fairly brief as far as things that we've talked about. So, I guess if there's any questions or suggestions.
Okay. Might be good to start just with clarifying questions to better understand the refinements and changes to the proposal before we get into deliberations. Anybody want to start off with that?
Yeah, I don't have any tonight.
No questions?
No. I do, sorry.
That's good.
Okay, on the first picture, and this is just perspective. The very first picture you had of the landscaping against the wall with the Hogan Cedars. Oh, it's the landscape picture in the back of the building.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know what these arrows are. Yeah. Getting there. Doesn't want to go very fast. There we go. Yeah.
Now, doesn't the, you know, looking at the site, maybe my perspective of this picture is wrong, but doesn't it slope away from the wall? Because it almost looks like you have the grade increasing away from the wall.
You mean, well, it slopes this way.
It slopes up to the wall?
Yes.
Or is it, excuse me?
It's pretty fairly fairly level because we have two walls. We have that planter wall here, so it's fairly level as it steps up.
In order for the
flow through planters to work. So if you look at the drawing, there's a planter, the flow through that Aaron just mentioned, and you know how it steps up with the retaining wall.
And okay, and on this picture, is that about where you think the trees will end up being?
Yes, I think if you go to the. I am. It's just going. It's just going very slow.
Don't worry.
It's just going very slow. There we go.
The answer is yes. Yeah.
So you can see these right here, and they're pretty well again located as far as when you go to the rendering.
And they're located a little bit away from the wall, so that they don't crowd the wall. You don't want them completely jamming against the wall.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's all the questions I have.
Okay.
I had a couple questions. Is there a functional reason for the platform along 124th?
It's basically we have retail commercial space in that area to have access for the public, depending on how that commercial space gets used.
Okay.
So we have a ramp that you can get up to the one side at the south side that can get onto that, and then steps to go up out here and there.
Okay. The reason I ask is it looked to me as though there was the ability to set those retail slabs on grade at a finished grade that would match sidewalk grades, although they would step as the contour of the site steps. It doesn't appear that there's parking or anything below that would prevent that from happening.
There's not parking below, but I guess we were looking, you know, being honest with you, as far as looking at simplicity and also, as we do have access from here, from the garage, you know, out to here. Here we are going to, you know, we would have just access here by stairs, but we were looking for ease of access for this area as far as how this worked. Once it got to this point where we had a very dominant retail space, you know, which we did sort of the last few weeks, we did lower it. And we worked out the height requirements and things that we could work out with zoning ordinances. But we felt as far as, you know, this area here, as far as how they worked, you know, if we started stepping that, they're relatively shallow spaces. Mm-hmm. As far as the height proportions, we just, you know, felt it was better going just keeping that platform across there. And it also would, to be honest, it would add significant cost as we step each one, because you'd do multiple steps all the way through and how we're doing that. So part of, I think, the idea of this building is, you know, we're trying to do something very, very attractive, but we're looking at places, again, being honest, as far as where we could be a little simpler as far as where money's spent.
Okay. My other question was, in looking at the south elevation, the portion of the garage podium that's essentially aligned with, I can't remember the name of this street that approaches the site from the south, sort of at an angle.
Slater,
thank you. What is the, in section, what is the dimension between the dwelling unit facade and the garage facade? Is there an offset there?
Are you talking about, well, excuse me.
Yeah, so that.
So there's this building here. It's about 50 feet in this corner back to the garage.
I'm curious in section between the garage, the south facing facade of the garage.
Okay.
And the units above, is there a step back?
No, there is not.
So they're essentially in the same plane.
In sync, except for where you see where it goes back for some of the decks. So there is a little bit of articulation.
Okay.
When you go here, you can see it's flat. There are these, you know, the two little decks that offer, you know, work with some articulation there.
Okay. So the material transition from the smaller, coarse siding to the larger siding happens essentially in the same plane.
Right. And then we're looking at using a reglet and doing something more contemporary as far as how the materials come together.
Okay. Those are my questions. Anything occur to anybody while we were talking through that? No questions?
Well, I'm just curious. This isn't something we talked about before, but I was just curious about how you decide how many stairways you have going up from 124th up to that landing, how wide they are, things of that nature.
I think what we looked at, I guess, to be honest, for that area there, we looked at something, I guess, I would say probably more by feel. Probably like we're splitting it. You know, it's not a really long stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you some exact science of what we did for that area there. You know, we had the one end, we have the other end, and doing something in the middle seemed sort of appropriate for the distance. As far as width, again, we did something, again, we felt that was comfortable as far as, you know, walking up, that it wasn't. It was also that not, you know, if we get too wide, you start having to put a rail in the middle also. So, you know, as far as aesthetics, we didn't want to do something that's too wide that we had to put a rail in the middle. So it was doing something that we felt was comfortable, you know, as far as walking up, and something that was practical, you know, on the sides and the middle.
Okay. If there's no more clarifying questions, I think we should start our deliberations.
Thank you.
Who wants to kick off?
I'll go ahead and comment. First of all, I support approval tonight. I think the applicant's done a good job of addressing our concerns from the last hearing. It's a good faith effort. I think there's more opportunity in terms of the sort of unifying the vertical aspects of the project, especially around the west and the south side. But I think the applicant's seen the merit of the argument and done a good job responding to that. So I'm comfortable with approval tonight. Other than that, I think it's net a good solution for the site.
And if I could say it the same way, I'd probably say it the same way as Jim. it's better than it was. So appreciate your responding to the board's concerns. I think it's going to be a really nice project.
I agree. I think that they're very effective solutions to the questions that we asked you to address, and I support the project.
I agree. There are a couple little nicks that I think we should talk a little bit about the concrete wall out front, because basically it's the same wall.
Right.
You know, I like the cantilever edge, and even if it was only cantilevered out, you know, just something so it's not a smooth wall. I should clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
A straight up and down wall.
Mm-hmm.
I think they hit the nail on the head saying, well, it's done all over. It is done all over.
Mm-hmm.
And if it were cantilevered out over, you know, looking like it had a cap, it would dress enough for me that I'd feel really comfortable with it and think it was just a little bit more dynamic than what.
I'd concur with that. I mean, I like the idea of the shadow line there. In terms of the net overall solution, I don't think the lack of that shadow line would detract from the
mm-hmm.
from the project. But looked at in isolation, I'd agree.
And
potentially as a condition of approval tonight. Is that
yeah, I just think that they can dress it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to tie their hands to one mm-hmm. option or say mm-hmm. you know, and it's just. Being in my industry, I'm tired of seeing just straight up and down wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even the examples that were shown, I didn't think they were that great. But the cantilever, I did like.
Yeah.
And one of the options they showed there was, you know, they had two different materials. They had metal, and then another one they had brick and concrete. So
yeah.
That's one of the reasons they looked a little bit more dressed up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, oh, you got to cantilever it out 6 inches because. Then you're going to have a 6-inch dry spot in the wintertime over your.
Right, you're just talking about just enough to create that shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And if the board agrees with that approach as a condition of approval, I'd actually suggest making it prescriptive that way rather than allowing the latitude of the applicant. Because otherwise, you don't know what this is going to look like. And I don't want to make them come back for something like this. That'd be my.
Well, and I the other thing I would say that I thought was amazing is that the south elevation, they up above floors, they dressed it up even though we didn't ask them. I thought that was great.
Mm.
So, but I'd say the concrete, you know, I'm comfortable with the. I wish they'd done a little bit more on the backside of the building, you know, with articulation, but it's. You know what? It's exactly what it's
mm-hmm.
Okay. Scott, as a landscape architect, I asked you to provide your expertise relative to that 12-inch planting zone between a retaining wall and a sidewalk, where there's going to be a footing for that wall. Is what's going to grow in there?
Oh, you can get a lot to grow in there, and. I think they'll come up with something better than what they showed in those pictures because that was weak. That was just trying to find a file photo, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're trying to market a building and it's the very front, I would imagine, I've seen Cam West other projects, it'll be better than what we saw in those pictures.
Okay. I think in terms of approvals, really the context of the approval are there's two big categories of issues, one being the responses to the four major subjects that were identified at the last meeting, which were well reflected in the staff memo, and then the other being the broader question of whether or not the proposal is consistent with the design guidelines for pedestrian-oriented business districts. And having not been at the last meeting and you know, reading the narrative of these issues and hearing the board's responses, it seems like we've satisfied the responsiveness based on the last review. The one element of the project that I'm having a little trouble with is this, the creation of a platform on 124th that separates the retail access from the sidewalk, particularly since there's not a structured parking or something below that would prevent that from simply adjoining the sidewalk. Within the guidelines for good pedestrian spaces, having that sidewalk access to retail is really a key component of a successful urban space. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to me it would be a much more successful place if the sidewalk simply extended to retail and those slabs were set at a level that would allow that to occur. And you know, based on experience, it could be done fairly simply. Mm-hmm. Understanding that the elevation change between the garage and the retail does need to be accommodated with ramps and steps within the garage space, but in my mind that's a more appropriate place to do that rather than establishing a wall on the street that, even if it has a nice shadow line and some planting, mm-hmm. it's fundamentally not very pedestrian oriented in my mind. So I would just throw that out for the board to consider.
So when I saw this solution initially, the first thing that popped into my mind was the there's an area of Vancouver. What is it?
Yaletown.
Yaletown, yeah, mm-hmm. where there's these industrial sort of post-industrial spaces that are retail, and the the pedestrian circulation in those areas doesn't occur at that level, it occurs down below. So I'd suggest that, not unless there's an outright violation of the standards, that to me there isn't sort of a lack of merit by them taking this design step to elevate this. In fact, I think there's some positives that come out of it. If you're thinking about, and it's a fairly wide space, right? And so there is an opportunity for, maybe tables and people to linger. In getting up above the level of what's a fairly busy arterial, mm-hmm. has some merit, I think, mm-hmm. in terms of that physical, the vertical section. And as the applicant said, these retail spaces are pretty shallow and long, so. I don't think there is a broad range of retail types that they can put in there. So I'm not troubled by the solution. Mm-hmm. I think it's, like I said, if there's otherwise a reason for us to deny it based on some violation, I think it has relatively comparable merit to an at-grade solution. That's my opinion.
Sure. That's fairly valid, and I think Yaletown and the Pearl District has some conditions like that in mm-hmm. a couple of the streets.
Sure.
Even downtown Redmond has, I can't remember the name of the property that I walked by the other day, has some. They have a split face finish to it, but it has the same type of landing up there. But I did have, and I agree with the advantages that Jim said, but that pedestrian orientation is the same concern that I had, which led me to ask about the stairways and wondering if there were more, if they were broader, if they had provided some opportunity for people to linger and sit on the stoop, so to speak, and, mm-hmm. And give more a more inviting feeling to climb up there and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. This dialogue just raised a couple questions in my mind, if it's all right, maybe to ask the applicant a couple more clarifying questions. How wide is that zone generally, and how is accessibility accommodated in terms of access? And then are there further opportunities to increase the number of connections to the street? Three questions.
out, you know, we're approximately, say, that walkway that's against the building, you know, is approximately about 8 feet, you know, going across there. The accessibility is from right there where Aaron's pointing them, you know, and then we can have a garage entrance there. We also have entrance at that end. Actually, both north and south, we have entrances that access from the garage and onto that level there. So it makes it fairly convenient as far as ADA. It becomes more difficult if you slope, again, slope to retail. As far as entranceways, again, I think we looked at sort of what's appropriate as far as, you know, creating that edge. We felt very comfortable that we had three spots in it, how actually the retail might be broken up. I mean, you might be in the way, if you look at this building, what you might end up having is, you know, to be honest, you might just have four spaces, you know, two in the middle, two in the end, as far as how they might work. So all the spaces have sort of direct access at the corners as far as how the stairs come up. So that's how we look, you know, how it worked. And sort of, and like the Pearl District, a lot of that in the Pearl District is in those edges, and actually some of the older parts of actually Portland, you know, actually some of the Victorian, some other areas, they have the raised areas, and they have some cases longer lines as far as how it worked. But I think that's part of why we looked as far as not more openings, because if you look at the retail space or how that space may be used, probably be broken up into four sections.
Okay.
The only thing that I was thinking, and I came in the middle of this project, so, but that condition was addressed between the last meeting and the first meeting, the raised platform at that corner, where I think most of the pedestrian activity will be. And if there were a more direct connection from that corner to the raised platform, that might be helpful, as opposed to having to walk around the Rose Garden to access that platform.
That was our problem, because again, handicap standards, what that ramp would have to be and everything else. I mean, we originally had something sort of in between, which really hurt that corner. When we say, okay, let's do this, I think we have good access from the garage as far as where parking is and things like that, as far as the way we make the how the project works. And I'll agree, it's not perfect, but as far as we think this is the best solution as far as accessibility and how things work. And again, the ramp, again, it would be so long, and sort of be able to take over the architecture of the corner, but we think we have a very practical solution with one entrance from the street and then two access points from the garage.
Okay. What I'm hearing is there's some very valid precedents for successful pedestrian-oriented spaces that give us comfort with this solution, and that it's been vetted and considered by the board, and particularly in consideration of the arterial, it may be in some ways the best solution. So I'm comfortable with it. The board's comfortable with it. I think overall, I saw this one iteration prior to last meeting, and seeing it now, I think it's a very sophisticated and well-considered project that has dealt with a challenging site by creating some wonderful spaces. So I think it seems like it'll be a very nice project. So if there's not any other issues that the board wants to raise, it sounds like maybe there's some conditions that we might like to request with respect to approval, relative to the detailing of the platform on 124th. I think, Jim, you had suggested something along those lines.
Well, Scott, it was actually Scott's. We have a comment.
I have Scott. We're okay. In fact, I like that idea of doing the edge. I guess what I would suggest is, because of the strip and everything else, it could be like a 2-inch.
Yeah. No,
and
if it looks like a cap, that's just fine.
And so forth on that edge, so we'd be very comfortable with doing that.
Yeah.
If you were, yes, if it could be, yes, one of the conditions between the minimum of 1.5 inches and up to 6 inches, that would give us,
uh-huh.
An 1.5 inches is the easier to form, and definitely 2 inches.
Well,
I
guess
I'll nail it on for you. Just the idea was, like you said before, just get that shadow line.
It's just the added detail, and you know, as long as it's substantial too. I mean, so you don't have a 2-inch. Yeah, make it as long with the heaviness of the building. It emulates the heaviness of the building.
I think if the board is comfortable expressing their intent on that, and staff will be comfortable working with the applicant on the detail, whether it's an inch and a half or 2 inches or 2.5, I think.
Okay, so in terms of just ticking off the four issues, concrete retaining wall, we've just done that. Signage, I thought the signage treatment was excellent. Very thorough, very nicely handled, lots of variety. Landscaping.
I thought it was good. I really don't question. I mean, their projects have been very good in the past.
And the garage level facade, in terms of treating those monolithic, I saw some of those moves of bringing the building to the ground. Everyone's comfortable with that. Okay. No public here for public comments, so we're getting there. We're getting close. Would anybody like to put a motion on the table?
I guess we'll move to approve the package conditionally.
Based on the establishment of a...
Of that shadow line.
Of an architectural shadow line at the 124th retaining wall front. Shadow line of substance. Any seconds to that motion?
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Sounds like we got unanimous approval.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything staff would like us to address before we adjourn?
I think all the board members received a copy of the notes from the joint meeting we attended with City Council. So, if anybody has any questions they'd like to elaborate on.
Well, I noticed we were well represented.
Thank you.
He's a scholar.
I tried not to put my foot in it. okay. And I think if I remember the rules, we can just adjourn, or do we need a motion? All right, let's go.
All right.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. Well, you guys made it easy for me. Right in there.
That's why we're here. So what? Why? So what? Our problems? Or
No. We went up to Orcas this weekend, and you know, to coordinate the kids and my wife and all that. We left my car in front of a friend's house. Which, when we came home late last night, we forgot. So I said, I'll take the bus today. Mm-hmm. So I took the bus, and then I was sitting in a meeting. I looked at my watch, and I was like, oh, it's 6:30.